Alright, welcome to the Occasional Hoopers. I'm your host, Smooth Johnson. Coming to you pre-recorded and live low-key. You know what I mean? We live with just the conversation in general. We're hitting you with everything from real shit to bullshit. It's been a long hiatus, but it is time for season two to finally crack off. And I'm just happy to be back. It's been a lot going on since we last, you know, seen each other and spoke with each other. And I'm looking at the NBA. I got a big smile on my face. Number one, the NBA is looking real different. I'm going to just say that off top. Number two, there's a wide open window for multiple teams, especially coming from the West, to make a deep playoff run. Simple as that. Number three, we actually have a discussion about an LA rivalry. And that's the first time in a long time. So before we dive into all that, you know what I'm saying? Before we do that, let me let you know that this show was brought to you by TheOccasionalHoopers.com. You can check out the website. We have blog posts. We have a few chats that you can participate in and comment on those blogs so that we can have you guys communicate with each other. The website just launched, I want to say, about a month ago or 2 months ago, so please check that out. You can find the podcast on TheOccasionalHoopers.com. If you click the podcast page, it'll take you right there. Spotify, Anchor, you know, shout out to Anchor for having us. If you want to get with Anchor, you know, we got a commercial coming up for you soon, too. Second of all, I want you to go check out Amazon.com. We got some shirts up there. We have the You Wild shirt, you know what I mean? Because sometimes you got to let them know that you wild. Simple as that. And if they talking that mess and they acting like they don't know who you are, let them know to stop playing with you. You know what I mean? You have to stop playing with me shirt. So please go to Amazon.com, type in You Wild Fitted Shirt. And also you can go and type in Stop Playing With Me Fitted Shirt. Stop playing. Because y'all be playing way too much. Alright, so now that we got the pleasantries out the way and we did a good big shout out to our sponsors, let's go, man, let's go. Now, this new NBA, just from a pure fan standpoint, the Raptors have won the championship. I feel like this is the first time Canada has beat America in a sport besides hockey. That's really keeping it G right there. I love it. I think Kawhi made the right move at the right time in terms of leaving the Spurs and asking for a trade. Now, him ending up in Canada was all a matter of, you know, the Spurs organization not wanting to trade him off to a LA franchise. So that move was a great move for basketball. Second of all, this was capped off with DeMar DeRozan going to the Spurs, LeBron James leaving the East and coming to the Lakers. To me, that holds a major importance just in terms of the whole championship run for the Toronto Raptors. Because if LeBron was the king of the East, Kawhi Leonard, he's like a young knight. I wouldn't even give him the prince title. He's not a prince. He will be a knight when it comes to the NBA hierarchy, if you want to put it like that. He's a knight. You know, he goes out there, he does his job. He gets the job done. He takes over. And if you know about monarchs, monarchy and things like that, a knight can go and become the lord of a land and then eventually become a king by, you know, taking it over and doing those things. So I say that to say, well, LeBron left the East. DeMar DeRozan had an opportunity to take that Raptors team and win that championship. You could doubt and say, oh, the superstar of Kawhi is better than the all-star of DeMar DeRozan. I can't believe that. I really can believe it, but that don't mean that I should. I want to point out the fact that DeMar, Kyle Lowry, and Dwayne Casey, they were bouncing between the number one, the number two, even the number three spot in the East for over the past 3 years, 4 years. They were ripe, meaning that they were ready to take the next step to win a championship. They just kept running into LeBron James, a Cleveland-led team. Cleveland team led by LeBron, capped off with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. And if you do go online to theoccasionalhoopers.com, I speak about that in an article. I think game one of the NBA finals, or game one of the Bucks versus Raptors series. I speak about that because to say that Kawhi Leonard was automatically going to win that championship, even if LeBron was still there, I doubt it. I truly doubt that. We saw the hard work that was put in by DeMar DeRozan. You know, he never had the greatest three-point shot. He was never a player that you would consider a true superstar. But with great team chemistry, elite defense, and the willingness to compete, we could have seen all that as soon as LeBron left and DeMar would have stayed with the Raptors. But we didn't see that, so it didn't happen. Many fans can doubt it and say, oh, well, Kawhi's a better player. Kawhi is a better player than DeMar DeRozan, but Kawhi himself struggled within the playoffs. And if it wasn't for a last-second shot over the 76ers, and if it wasn't for an injured Klay Thompson, and an injured Kevin Durant, are you guys really going to tell me with the full healthy Warriors team, Toronto led, I think they led, what, they led Golden State 3-2 or something like that. And when Durant came back, he got hurt, and it was easier for them to like put Golden State out. But a full healthy Warriors team, we would not sit here and say Toronto is the NBA world champions. That's just the truth. Everybody knows that. And you can only play the team in front of you. So I'm going to give Kawhi his credit. I will. I'm going to respect Kawhi Leonard as an NBA, two-time NBA Finals MVP. I'm going to respect him as a champion. But again, he's not a prince, nor is he the king of the NBA. He's a knight, meaning he goes out and he does his job at an elite level. He is a superstar when it comes to playing two-way offense and defense, being a two-way player, playing the two-way game. So Kawhi Leonard just was able to capitalize off the opportunity he had at the right moment, at the right time. Now, looking at the East, Boston had struggles just within their locker room. I know I believe that Boston was ready to make the next step. You know, when they had Isaiah Thomas, they went all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Isaiah leaves, they get Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. Hayward's injured, Kyrie Irving is injured. They were still able to make it to the second round of the NBA playoffs in the East. Brad Stevens is a hell of a coach. And we can look at Brad Stevens and consider him a very great young mind. I put him on an Eric Spoelstra. He's on an Eric Spoelstra level. There's another coach who coached the Thunders to their NBA final, Scotty Brooks. Scotty Brooks was a great coach for that Thunder team. Brad Stevens is a great coach for this Celtics team. But the tangibles of an injured Gordon Hayward, a superstar level Kyrie Irving who feels that he is, I want to say, equal to LeBron. But they were not able to get it together. You know, their young core really believed in their development and felt that they didn't need to put their basketball talent, our basketball skill on the back burner to allow Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving to lead their team. Now, they did have Al Horford, who's a phenomenal player. They had Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier. The Celtics were stacked. Marquise Morris or Marcus Morris, one of the Morris twins. We know which one they had. If you know, let me know. But we all thought the Celtics were going to be the team to get there. And when I say we all thought, I'll give the fan base of the East, I'll say about 35%. That's a large number. That's a very large number. 35% of the Eastern fan base, even maybe some of the fan base in the West, really thought that the Celtics had the opportunity to take the next step, because you had a healthy Kyrie Irving who led a team, who hit big shots during the NBA Finals with LeBron James. He's been to the Finals 2 times in a row, you know, coming off of an injury, but he had a healthy season. Then you had Gordon Hayward, who was coming his first year back from the injury. People thought, even if he didn't have the explosiveness, you don't lose your shot as an NBA player. So that team had all the tangibles, and I really do think so. The defense on that team, I mean, Marcus Morris, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, those are long guys. They're long. They're able to switch and play different positions. These players are what you need to win a title. The issue was they were not mentally able to commit with the issues that they had with Kyrie. And when I say mentally able to commit, just commit to the system of winning. If Kyrie's ego wasn't as big, I believe that this team could have beat the Bucks. They could have beat the Sixers. They were a well-coached team. They had everything that you will want for a championship team, meaning you got the superstar, you got a young upcoming star. Gordon Hayward is well-known. Your young upcoming star was Jason Tatum. And then your surprise that no one really even expected to be that well, I mean, to play that well, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is a baller. Straight up and down. He can do it all. He can shoot. He can take it on the inside. He has to settle a little in his game so that he can know what he does. But so does every NBA player, especially being a young player, being a third-year player or second-year player. So the Celtics were who I expected at one point to give the Raptors, the Sixers, the Bucks issues in the Eastern Conference Finals. Because I would have loved to see the Lakers versus Celtics Finals. I really would have, but that didn't happen. And sticking with the East, the Raptors also got lucky that the 76ers were not fully capable to reach their highest level. You bring in Jimmy Butler, who came from Minnesota having issues there with their young stars, and you add that to Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, JJ Redick, and then, you know, you got McConley coming off the bench. You know, the Sixers had a squad. You know what I mean? Sixers had great players on that team when they made that run. So you telling me that Amir Johnson, this is just the bench, you know, Greg Monroe and, all right, I mean, they don't have a deep bench, but I bring those players up to say that they had enough versatility to at least go 7 to 8 man deep. Now, you may say that's not a deep enough roster to win a title, but when you look at the Golden State Warriors, when they won their title, they had Leonardo Barbosa, they had Sean Livingston, Iguodala. They had a deep bench, but they only played about 7 or 8 players. You know what I mean? I didn't really see too many other players that were coming off the bench during those playoffs run. You know, you wanna stick with a solid core. And the Sixers, they brought in Jimmy Butler. You know, you added that to Ben Simmons, who still needs to develop a jump shot, but he was still playing well if he played within his game. You had Joel Embiid. Those injuries really caught up to him during the playoffs. But Joel Embiid is a phenomenal big man. You know, he can shoot the three. I don't really want him shooting the three as much, me personally, only because I think he has a higher percentage if he step inside a little bit, maybe take that mid-range. He can hit him with a pump fake, drive it on the inside, can't nobody stop him. Even if they do double team, he has the passing ability to kick it out to a three-point shooter like J.J. Redick, to a three-point shooter like Jimmy Butler. And the mid-season splash that they made was Tobias Harris. They got Tobias Harris from the Clippers. Now, Tobias comes over. Tobias is putting up numbers over there with the Clippers. Tobias was doing well. Tobias' numbers with the Clippers were very nice, man. He was averaging about 15 points a game, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. So you're adding that to a team that already has a great coach. I like their coach over there. Their coach Brett Brown, he kind of looked like a young Santa Claus, you know, with a haircut and whatnot. But Brett Brown is a great coach. He's able to put a few plays together to maximize the talent of Ben Simmons, even without a jump shot, switching him from being inside the paint. That way, it allows Jimmy Butler, it allows Tobias Harris, it allows Joel Embiid to operate. Even though he's not that perimeter shooter, if you got Ben Simmons coming downhill, entering the paint at full speed from the top of the key, you have to collapse, because all he's going to do is bang, bang. And if he bang, bang, you know, that's easy 2 points, or we just send him to the foul line. So the Sixers, I picked the Sixers last year. If you listen to a podcast, you know, from the first season, I did speak about, I really believe, I mean, this is me personally, not even majority of NBA fans or analysis. I don't care what they think about the analysis so much, but the Sixers had a great opportunity to take it to the next level. I really did believe that. I really did. And between the Sixers and the Celtics, I could have seen that being the Eastern Conference Finals. I believe they met earlier than that. But come on now. It's the Sixers, man. The Sixers are bubbling. You know, they trusted that process. They picked up great players. I wish their bench was a little bit deeper. I do think J.J. Redick could have came through a little more in terms of hitting more shots. And it's not to say that he didn't hit shots. I just think the lack of three-point shooting from Tobias Harris, J.J. Redick, and Jimmy Butler, it contributed to them not being able to win. And Joel Embiid wasn't healthy. So we're not just going to say these three players fought in terms of why the Sixers didn't win. It just wasn't their time. They still need a little more time to gel. And as we see now, they made certain moves during the offseason that can put them at a higher level in terms of team chemistry and ability to hit 3-point shots. Now, again, the 76ers were a team that I thought could make it to the finals. A team that everyone thought would make it to the finals, the Bucks. And I say the Bucks, and I'm surprised myself, because who are on the Bucks? And I really say that because I wrote an article about that one too. I want you guys to check it out. TheOccasionalHoopers.com. I'm really plugging this website because, you know, I worked hard on this. The team came together and we put it out there. We're trying to drop articles every week. Please comment, talk. Let me know what you think. Let me know what's on your mind when you read these articles. And we can go back and forth about it. I don't mind. I love it. But the Bucks surprised me. I didn't think the Bucks would have the MVP. I don't think the Bucks really had a true second All-Star. We could call Chris Middleton an All-Star, but come on now, he's an Eastern All-Star. I don't really know what to say about that. You know what I mean? Like, Chris Middleton didn't put up All-Star type numbers, especially when our All-Stars as in the Western Conference, you got to average like 20 points. You want me to think you're an All-Star? Give me like 20 points. You know, like, I just real talk. They had a rookie of the year in Brogdon, and it's no disrespect to Brogdon, but I don't even know who was in his draft class. No, for real. Who was in that draft class? I do know, but no name pops out to me. No name stands out. No notable player from that draft class even made me think, oh, okay, maybe they could be rookie of the year. When I found out he was rookie of the year, I was surprised. He's a good 3-point shooter. I give him that. You know, he hit a couple of 3-point shots during the playoffs. He was able to go deep into the playoffs. But he had injuries as well, and I don't really think he would have made a difference. You know what I mean? Brook Lopez, he played with the Lakers. He wasn't hitting those 3-point shots. And when he did hit his 3-point shots for the Milwaukee Bucks, it's really like, maybe like 3 for 22. I'm not knocking what he did, but what I'm saying is, if you hit the right shots at the right time, people can disregard all the other shots you miss, which is fine. I actually appreciate that. You know, I love the fact that people highlight the hard work that you put in. But you can't sit here and really tell me, oh, the Bucks, you know, they had an opportunity to win the finals. No, they were still going to lose to the Warriors. They would have lost to the Sixers. For real, I really think they would have lost to the Sixers. There, you know, Eric Bledsoe, a great athlete, you know, phenomenal athletic ability. But his IQ is pretty low when it comes to basketball. Now, why do I think his IQ is low? Because there's been plenty of times where he wasn't playing in the fourth quarter during the playoffs because they had George Hill, who had a higher IQ. And that it just goes to show you that just because you have athleticism and you have the ability to dunk, cross somebody over, he can create his own play, but he's not necessarily a playmaker, you know? It's no disrespect to Bledsoe. No disrespect at all. But it's just a highlight of just because you got the best record doesn't say you have the best players on your team. Mike Budenholzer, he was the Atlanta coach. Atlanta had 4 All-Stars during the time that they had the best record in the league. Then they had Kyle Korver. I can't even think of the other All-Stars. But Kyle Korver was an All-Star that year because they were a terrific 3-point shooting team. They got the brakes beat off them. Straight up. The Atlanta Hawks got thrashed. We didn't even take them serious as a team to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, really, we did it. So Mike Budenholzer comes over to Milwaukee. They play well. They get the number one record, but are y'all, come on now. Y'all can't really tell me y'all thought the Milwaukee Bucks was going to win the NBA championships. I mean, I you can fear the deer, but ain't nothing to fear. Like, that's just real talk. And there's not much to fear. Now, Giannis, the MVP. My MVP of the league, who I considered the MVP of the league, was James Harden. James Harden should have got it 2 years in a row. And if you wasn't going to give it to James Harden, you give it to Russell Westbrook. It's blasphemous. It's preposterous. I had to get on my Stephen A. Smith real quick. You know, pull out all them words. My Max Kellerman. But to keep it straight up, it's ridiculous, man. James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double. He deserves the MVP. James Harden went on a 30-point streak for about like 15 games. He took his team from being out of the playoffs with the injured Chris Paul in the first half of the season and put them all the way in like the fourth or third seat. Come on, man. Get that man. He had a 50-point triple-double this season, a 40-point triple-double this season. Get that man his respect. I know Giannis improved. Giannis was the most improved player. Giannis' team had the number one record. But Giannis' team had the number one record without LeBron being in the East. And a Mike Budenholzer-led coaching staff has shown us that just because you got the number one record doesn't make you a dangerous team. Giannis, no disrespect. If all you can do is go to the basket and bang, bang, hey, I got to give it to you. You know, that's talent. That's skill. That's maximizing your ability. There's nothing wrong with maximizing your ability as a player. When the game is on the line and I need you to step outside of the paint and hit some three-point shots and hit a couple of two-point shots so that now the defense of the opposing team isn't focused on just locking the paint down because they know all you're going to do is go to the basket and dunk. That's when you're really the MVP because you offset the team. They got to step up a little bit to guard that shot. You can let Giannis shoot. Real talk, if you cannot change the game with the jump shot, you can't be my MVP. Now, people will say, oh, well, Shaq got the MVP. Tim Duncan got the MVP. Tim Duncan was a power forward who could hit that bank shot. Don't play with me. Shaq was the most unstoppable force in the game. And to keep it real, Shaq was way bigger than Giannis in terms of weight. So his effect on the game compared to Giannis's effect on the game is completely different. Like Shaq could go up with like three dudes on him and bang bang. Like Shaq really was a center. I know Giannis is a power forward. I know Giannis, you know, can dribble the ball from the opposing end all the way to his basket. But at the same time, if you notice you're unable to get the dunk, get the layup that you've been getting majority of the game, as my MVP, you have to be able to step outside of that and hit a jump shot. Shaq hit free throws. Like, I'm not saying Giannis can't hit free throws, but I say that to say, if you're going to be the MVP, you either got to be unstoppable in the center position or power forward position, or like Tim Duncan, you have the ability to step outside of the paint and affect the team either at the three-point line or mid-range killer. Paul Pierce was a mid-range killer. DeMar DeRozan was a mid-range killer. Kobe, towards the end of his career, was a mid-range killer. Giannis is not a mid-range killer. Giannis is a great player that improved. You know what I mean? He put up big numbers. But no disrespect, bruh. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James. I'm not just saying it because he's Lakers LeBron James, but LeBron James had 27-8-8. He can hit a three-point shot every once in a while. His effect on the game is phenomenal. Come on, man. Come on, man. The man like 30-something. 16, 17 years in the NBA doing that. Get out of here, dog. There's other players that have an effect on the game that doesn't include the paint only. And that's my only knock on this year's MVP. That's it. You know, just he only has an inside the paint presence. I don't really see Giannis. Maybe this year he'll have the opportunity in terms of the 2020 season to make a finals march. You know, he can help take that team to the finals. But the East has gotten better. There's more competition there. It's nothing compared to the West, but there's just more competition. So, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Celtics, those were the three teams that were favored to win the Eastern Conference. Toronto really came out of nowhere. Toronto really surprised me, man. So I'm a really give it to Kawhi. I'm going to give it to Nick Nurse, first-time head coach. I'm going to give it to Marc Gasol. I'm going to give it to Serge Ibaka. You know, he's been to the finals. He's lost to LeBron James. You know what I'm saying? Marc Gasol came from Memphis, the Grindhouse, Tony Allen, O.J. Mayo, Mike Conley, when they was Zach Randolph, when they was over there beating people up like Blake Griffin. You feel me? I'm with Kyle Lowry, who's been around the league and really took his opportunity to stand up and show up in the playoffs. I called him Mr. Disappear and Reappear, but nah, Kyle Lowry actually showed up in the playoffs. We got to give that man some respect. Siakam. Now, I didn't know who Siakam was. I didn't know what Siakam could do. Maybe I wasn't watching the Raptors. That's my fault. Maybe I need that NBA League pass. You know, help your boy, the occasional Hoopers, get the NBA League pass. We can cover all the games, give you much more information. Just looking from the eye. You know, sometimes the numbers don't tell everything. You got to see the game to believe the game. But Siakam showed up and showed up. And that is what gave Toronto the edge, especially some injuries. Like, come on now. We got to acknowledge those injuries for them to win the NBA championship. You know, those is hand clapping. That's for them. Now, let's talk about this new NBA. Kevin Durant plays for the Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie plays for the Brooklyn Nets. You feel me? Kemba Walker has left Charlotte, and now he plays for the Boston Celtics. This I'm not done. I'm not done though. Russell Westbrook plays alongside James Harden. And Chris Paul is in OKC. Come on now. Come on. And I'm not done. Anthony Davis plays with LeBron James and Boogie Cousins. Come on, man. It's a new NBA. It's a completely different NBA. Mike Conley has left Memphis and joined the Utah Jazz with Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. Come on, it's a new NBA, man. You gotta acknowledge it, man. Jimmy Butler has left the 76ers and has gone down to Miami. He down there in South Beach. He down there in Wade County. Like, the NBA has changed so much that I'm really impressed by, one, the balance of talent. I'm impressed by the move made by front offices in terms of not allowing a big three to truly be the only makeup of a team. Not allowing three-point shooting to be the only makeup of a team. Now we really get in the 1-2 punch that we're used to. You know what I'm saying? We've always had star teams, star players on big teams. So I'm not going to say that. But there was a bigger balance in the 80s. Every team had two good players and the rest were great role players. Every team in the 90s had a 1-2 punch, a bruiser, or even one superstar and great role players. The reason why I keep saying great role players is because we have to acknowledge that as a role player, you don't have to just be good. You can be great, which gives you that Hall of Fame status, which gives you that ability to carry your weight around. You know, you talk about Rick Fox, Kenny Smith. You talk about players, Bruce Bowen, Steven Jackson. I bring those guys up because they're not superstars. But at the same time, they're talented players who knew their role and played their role to an elite level. Simple as that, which contributed to a championship. And majority of the teams now have a 1-2 punch and some great role players. And Blake Griffin and Derrick Rose both play for the Pistons now. That's impressive, man. That's something big. That's going to take Detroit to another level. Blake Griffin had a phenomenal year this year. After getting traded from the Clippers, he turned his game around. He started hitting three-point shots. He started banging on cats again. And the East is wide open. I'm telling you, the East is wide open. Now, the biggest splash, I mean, D'Angelo Russell doesn't play for the Brooklyn Nets. He's over there with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, but Klay is injured. But I'm not talking about those Splash Brothers. Damian Lillard, Hassan Whiteside, and CJ McCollum. That might be a big three, but I still feel that 1-2 punch between CJ and Damian being the more important point of the Portland Trail Blazer team. I know Zion, you know, Big Zion, Big Z, Zion Williams, he's over there with the New Orleans Pelicans, with Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Drew Holiday. They got a nice young core over there with a little vet, you know what I'm saying? But the biggest splash, Russ went to Houston, but he left and was traded. I have to say he left and was traded, because if he wanted to stay, he could have stayed, but he left and he got traded. Because Paul George, Palmdale P, you know, he keeps saying, you know, I'm from LA. Nah, dog, you from Palmdale. Palmdale is not LA. It's not. I don't care what no one says. If you live in California, especially specifically Southern California, you know Palmdale is 40 minutes from the Valley. That's the 818. Maybe an hour and a half from Hollywood, downtown LA. So you're 2 hours away from the Staples Center. You cannot, and that's downtown LA. You cannot tell me, oh, I'm from LA. Paul George, you're from Palmdale, bruh. That's the truth. Kawhi Leonard, you're from Riverside. That's the truth. You guys can sit here and push that you're from LA. What, LA County? You're from LA County? Okay. I don't even think San Diego is LA County. Because that's the school you went to. You know what I mean? In terms of Kawhi Leonard. These two dudes, they team up and they go play for the Clippers. And I'm going to give the Clippers a lot of respect for, one, getting the finals MVP, meaning that they set up their franchise to get the finals MVP. They brought in Jerry West. They got Doc Rivers as the head coach. They took a group of just hardworking players and the greatest six man of all time, Lou Williams, and made it to the eighth seed in the Deep Western Conference. They were able to take Golden State to six games with the healthy Kevin Durant. So I'm not knocking the Clippers at all. But what I'm acknowledging is this. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard both said that they wanted to be in LA when they were on different franchises. Paul George did an interview talking about how he saw his name being hung up in the Raptors with the Lakers jersey. Kawhi Leonard said he wanted to play for LA. He never indicated which LA team, so I cannot blame Kawhi Leonard. But there were many reports that said that Kawhi wanted to be with the Lakers. When these players get the opportunity to play for the Lakers, not because we asked for them, and I say we because I'm a Lakers fan, but we the occasional hoopers are only going to keep it real. We didn't ask for Kawhi Leonard. We didn't ask for Paul George. They said they wanted to play for the Lakers. The Lakers said, okay, y'all want to come play, come play. That's just it. That's really the truth. Paul George didn't give Magic Johnson an interview. Kawhi Leonard, he asked for us not to speak about what they wanted to do in terms of the deal that they were working out with Kawhi's team and the Lakers front office. This is fine, I get that. But don't try to sit here and tell us that you guys didn't ever have interest in LA. You guys brought it up. Don't sit here and tell us that, oh, well, you know, I always grew up a Clipper fan. You may have always been a Clippers fan. Okay. All right. But what are you a fan of? Losing? You a fan of losing? Clippers. You've never been to a conference championship. You know what that means? That means that you've never been the best team in the West. Period. Period. That means that you've never battled for a conference title. You never left the second round. Never. You've never had the number one record in the NBA. You've never had the number one record in the Western Conference. So, the people who are Clipper fans, it's no disrespect. You guys have had great teams. But your teams that were great were losers. Straight up. That's everything from what I see on the court when you guys play, you lose. That's what I see in terms of championships, you don't have them. Conference titles, you don't have them. I don't even think you guys have division titles. You might have one division title, maybe two division titles. You were the best in your division. That's cute. But coming back to Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers franchise and the Clippers organization, you guys were a fan and fans of losers. Like, I don't even remember the Clippers ever having an MVP, meaning a player on the Clippers who won the MVP. Like, that's real talk, man. Not like, I'm not making that up. That's not opinion based. If you want to fact check. Tell me one Clipper that was an MVP. Anybody could be an MVP candidate. Who was the MVP from the Clippers? Come on, man. Get out of here, dog. Just get out of here. You guys are a joke. True joke. The Kings made it to a Western Conference championship match before the Clippers did. The Warriors popped up when y'all had Chris Paul, y'all being the Clippers, who I'm speaking about, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Chauncey Billups, Caron Butler, Matt Barnes, and all the boys, and oh, Lamar Odom, and oh, Big Baby Davis, and oh, let's get this guy and that guy, and oh, let's get him, let's get Jamal. And losers, man. Y'all lost to the Warriors. They went on and won the title. People say that they're fans of the Clippers. Okay, you're a basketball fan of a team that works hard and plays hard. I respect that. But you're not fans of winners. There are no winners on that team. Now, this new look Clippers, hey, I hope they play well. I really do. But I'm just acknowledging the facts. I'm acknowledging what I see. The Rockets. This is not Hakeem Olajuwon Rockets, James Harden. You have to play different, man. If you guys want to win, because all y'all been doing is losing too. You guys have had probably the number one record before. I give you that. That's respect. You guys have an MVP on your team. That's respect. You guys got two MVPs on your team. That's a lot of respect. But you guys are losers. Straight up. Straight up losers. Well, you know. It's no point in me saying the Lakers are losers. Yeah, we've lost. Yeah, we've lost for 6 years. We've lost for 6 years. We've lost for 7 years. It was the opportunity for many teams to go and get them a title. The only team to go get them a title was the Warriors, and they got title after title after title. So don't blame Steph, don't blame Klay, blame the fact that the Lakers were down, the Rockets had an opportunity, the Clippers had too many opportunities, even Utah. You know, we put Utah, the Lakers, we've put Utah out multiple times. The Darren Williams Utah team, the Utah team with Karl Malone and John and Stockton, we battled with them going back to the late 90s. So us, the Lakers in Utah, there's beef. That's a rivalry. You know what I'm saying? Like the Nuggets and the Lakers, there's beef. The Carmelo led Nuggets, man, we used to throw down with them. So those teams, I give them more respect than I do give the teams that claim to be, oh yeah, we're championship teams. We have that championship pedigree. We have that hunger. You might be hungry, but you ain't going out to get nothing to eat. That's just it. You know what I mean? That's the Rockets. I can say that they're doing better. I really can say that. I really can say that they're swinging for the fences. I really can say that. But James Harden, you have to play different. How? I don't know. I'm not a basketball player in terms of me actively playing every day. So I'm not going to tell you how to change your game. I'm not about to sit here and tell you, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. No, just play different. Figure out how to win. You know how to win. You have enough talent. Win. The Utah Jazz, I think they have an opportunity to actually win. Real talk. They got a hungry point guard who's been underrated for so long. And he deserves all the respect he can get. And that's Mike Conley. This young man, Donovan Mitchell, he deserves respect. He played hard out there. He put out, and when I say he put him out, he put out a Paul George and Russell Westbrook-led Oklahoma City Thunder. Portland Trail Blazers, they put out the Oklahoma City Thunder this year because Russ think he big, he bad, he this, he that. No disrespect to Russ, but the Portland Trail Blazers have an opportunity to win. Utah, Portland, and the Nuggets. Those three teams have more of an opportunity to win, in my eyes, than Houston and Clippers. On paper, they look good, for sure. But unfortunately, Houston, something's up. Something's up with that. Maybe it's Mike D'Antoni. I don't know. You know, I'm just saying that. I don't know. Golden State Warriors, I could put them in a category because they're in that, they have newfound hunger with the loss that they just experienced. Steph Curry did not show up, unfortunately. So, and when I mean he didn't show up, I'm not saying that he didn't put up big numbers throughout the playoff, throughout the finals. Just meaning that when the world championship was on the line and Steph had to put the team on his back, he wasn't able to show up for that game 6, game 7. That's all. I think he dropped like 40 points one game. So Steph definitely did his thing. That was his opportunity to get a finals MVP. Real talk. If his team wasn't injured as much as they were, I truly believe that they would have won the title, but he wouldn't have got the MVP, sadly. That's just it. So Steph is about to show up this year, and he about to bring that unanimous MVP season back. The 2019-2020 season, Steph Curry is really about to let the NBA recognize that he's back in effect, and he's really about to lay people out. For real. That's just it. He about to start hitting them impossible three-point shots again. Draymond Green is about to really play hard, about to get his shot right. He ain't got to defer to Kevin Durant no more. So it's about to be a different NBA right there. Those four teams that I just named, they have a great opportunity to win the NBA title. The West is wide open in terms of winning a championship from the Western Conference. A team from the West is going to win the championship. That's it. The East is wide open just for new talent to be seen. But I come back to this Clippers point. because it's so important to for us as fans to recognize this. The Clippers have a great team. Again, the Clippers have a great team. But the media likes to make us think that they have the best opportunity to win because they have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Paul George, he didn't help OKC get to the next level. His game improved, but he didn't help them get to the next level. Kawhi Leonard, you know, he got lucky, man. That's just it. And I'm not taking away from his game. No, he got lucky, meaning that he made the right move at the right time. And there were a lot of injuries during the time in which he played. That's all. So, that's it. Other than that, his game is still great. Paul George, his game is great. But he coming off of two shoulder surgeries, man. Two shoulder surgeries this summer. I don't know if he even going to start the season. So, all that Clipper talk, let's be honest. Who are on the Clippers? Like, everybody talk about, oh, man, the Clippers, they got Patrick Beverley. That he's not giving you points. He's not. Oh, they got Lou Williams. Lou Williams is coming off the bench, and I'm sorry, Lou Williams is not enough for me to win a championship just off the fact that you got Lou Williams. He's an addition to a championship piece. He's a piece to a championship team. So that's a fact. You know, I like Lou. No disrespect to you, Lou. But who else? Oh, we got Montrezl Harrell. I didn't even know him until last year. That's just real. And even with him playing as great as he did, they got eighth place. Come on now. Well, they had Gallinari. Gallinari is gone. Shai Alexander, he's gone too. And even if they were still on the team, what is that? Like, for real? Like, those are the names that you say and really expect me to think that the Clippers are going to do something? The Clippers not even a deep team, man. They're not. The last year Clippers wasn't deep. They played well. They played hard. But they're not a deep team. Oh, well, they got Zubac. We had Zubac. We gave y'all Zubac. Come on. Stop. We as in the Lakers. Stop playing with me, man. Go get that shirt. Stop playing with me. But for real, stop playing with me talking about the Clippers. Y'all got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. It takes you to an elite level. I do get that. You got Doc Rivers, a Hall of Fame coach, a great head coach. Probably number two head coach in the league right now. Maybe even number one. Because he did more with less. That's just real talk. But don't sit here and tell me the Clippers is deep. The Clippers not deep, man. They only can go like 4 or 5 deep off the bench. Not 4 or 5 deep, but meaning like off the bench, they only can call around like two or three players. And those three players, one of them is Montrezl Harrell. The other one is Lou Williams. That's all. Like, Zubac is okay. He's going to be a decent player. But the Clippers do not have game-changing players outside of Kawhi Leonard. It's the truth. Paul George is going to give you great numbers, but he didn't do nothing for OKC. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. He lost 2 years in a row with Oklahoma. What? You telling me Ricky Donovan, or whatever his name is, but he's the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, he couldn't put something together to help them win? He did. Russ averaged a triple-double, but they still didn't win. Why? Because they don't, those guys, they just don't necessarily have that ability to make it a championship team. And that was just with OKC. Now with the Clippers, they may be able to do something different. But I'm just giving you the facts from what we saw over the years. Like, that's none of those facts are made up. Those are real facts, man. A lot of things what I see in terms of, okay, yeah, that might be an opinion, but outside of the fact that I don't think that they have the championship will or the championship pedigree, everything else is a fact, man. Now, you could bring me your facts. I would love that. I would appreciate that. Please do. You know, it's no disrespect to nobody. But come on, let's not do this Clipper talk. Let's not do that, man. Y'all make me laugh a little bit. So that's just where I'm gonna leave it. Hit us up on Instagram. That's where you can find us at, The Occasional Hoopers. We on Facebook, T.O. Hoopers. We are online at TheOccasionalHoopers.com. Let us know, what is your top five? Or you can even go full playoffs. Tell me your playoff teams in the Western and Eastern, in Eastern Conference. Who are the top eight on the West? Who are the top eight on the East? Just from looking at what we see now, you know? We know the West is a little bit deeper, meaning it's a little bit more difficult to gain those wins. But please tell me. Please let me know. I would love to hear. I would love to read it. I would love to see it. If you want to, you can make a video on Instagram and tag The Occasional Hoopers. That way I could go and comment on your video. Please listen in to Anchor. Be prepared for more episodes to be dropping soon. I want everybody to be a part of this conversation. Again, we talk about everything from real shit to bullshit. And it's really time. It's really a good year for the NBA. It's a good year for all sports. It's a good year for boxing. It's a good year for baseball. The Dodgers are playing well. The Raiders have an opportunity to be a new franchise out here in Vegas. Please comment. Let me know. Check out Amazon.com and get your Use Wild shirt. Go get that. You wild, because you know that you wild. You know what I'm saying? Type in You Wild Fitted Shirt. Find that. You're going to see it. It got the animal print on it. Got the You Wild. Look real good. Let them know with the Stop Playing With Me shirt. If anybody want to joke around, or if you come into work to put in that business, or if you on the court and you know you got skill and they talking about let you shoot because they act like you can't shoot, tell them Stop Playing With Me. Simple as that. And you can hit me up to pick up The Occasional Hooper shirts. We got shirts for the podcast, shirts for the website. Hit me up personally on The Occasional Hoopers for Instagram, T.O. Hoopers for Facebook. We even got Twitter. I forgot the Twitter. But we got Twitter. So hit us up and let us know what size you need. We got a limited amount right now when it comes to The Occasional Hooper shirts. I'm loving all the support that we've been getting. We damn near sold out of everything. And stay tuned. We're going to have some interviews coming up for this upcoming season. We're going to drop a lot of interviews. Get a lot of different standpoints out there. Got the each one teach one, so we can learn from each other, because that's what it's really all about. It's not just about me talking about basketball, talking about sports. It's about us really expanding our knowledge into everything that can help us become better people. I want to give a big shout out to just my support out there, you know, The Occasional Hoopers. We appreciate it. You know, right now we're coming at you with season two. It's a new season. It's a new beginning. It's brand new. It's out there. It's fresh to start. I'm loving it. If you're ready to get on, come get on. Again, remember, tag us, follow us, check us out. Go to anchor.fm to listen in. You know what I mean? Go to Spotify to listen in. Go to iTunes and listen in. And we're going to have everything coming your way soon. So, thank you so much. Again, comment and let us know who are the top eight teams, your playoff teams in both the East and the Western Conference of the NBA. Oh, shout out to the Big Three. Alex, I got to get this in real quick. The Big Three is doing phenomenal things, man. I'm so serious. Really look out for the enemies, either versus the Killer Threes or versus Triplets in the Big Three playoffs. Hopefully that could be the championship match. I'm really feeling that this summer. I really do think that the Big Three is about to continue to take over the summer. And that style of play is just phenomenal. So we're going to have the Big Three coming up on the next episode. We're going to really go in on that and really just get you guys more exposed to that. I love y'all. I appreciate you. Shout out to The Occasional Hooper himself.